Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Joining the studio, which is a little hot today, no air conditioning. Anyway, Ali Moreno is with us later on in the programme. Craig Burley will be here to reflect on England's victory against Poland at Wembley. But there's only one place we have to start today's show, and who would have thought we'd be starting it with Germany against North Macedonia. North Macedonia beating the Germans by 2-1. The first time Germany have lost a World Cup qualifier in 20 years. It is an extraordinary result, one that nobody saw coming. Joining us, Alessandro Del Piero and Jürgen Klinsmann. Jürgen, we've got to start with you. How on earth did this happen?
Yeah, huge surprise, obviously. I mean, nobody expected that. I mean, the way the game started, I thought, you know, it's going to be 2-3-0 after 30 minutes. But they didn't take their chances. They had, they hit the crossbar with Goretzka. They had 2-3 chances with Gnabry, and also Havertz had a very, very good chance. But then you get punished. You get punished when you don't use your chances, and sooner or later you invite the opponent to take their chances. And even if they had a very, very few amount of chances, North Macedonia, they played well, they played very aggressive, they believed in themselves, and when they came up then 1-0 right before halftime, this was a huge shock, you know. And then Germany came back with a penalty, and in the meantime then North Macedonia should have another penalty themselves. But the way they finished it off, you know, with another beautiful goal. They stunned, obviously, not only Germany, but they stunned the entire home country in North Macedonia now, because this is a huge surprise. Yeah. And obviously a huge disappointment for the German fans. There's no doubt about it. It will be the topic in Germany for the next couple of days. How can you lose a World Cup qualifier at home against North Macedonia?
It's interesting, Jürgen, because we've talked about the fact that obviously they got thrashed by Spain last year, but there was a feeling that they turned the corner. Jogi Löw announced that he'd be leaving at the end of the Euros, so some finality there, meaning that that wasn't going to be discussed going further. They looked okay in the last couple of games. This just completely halts their momentum, completely.
Yeah, it turns things around right away again. Obviously, they wanted to make sure that, you know, people forget about this 6-0 result with Spain, which was an embarrassment, a huge embarrassment for Germany. They did it well. They won the first two games now in these three qualifiers. But the expectations were clear. There were 9 points out of three games. And especially when you have two home games, you expect to win your games at home. Now, this opens up the whole discussion again a little bit. Obviously, Joachim Löw, he announced that he will step down after the Euros this summer. But now, with that result, obviously, you know, there will be some tension around. There will be, obviously, the media will do their part. So it's not going to be a relaxed preparation for the Euros. You know, there will be a lot of question marks. Every player will be discussed up and down in all sorts of, if it's social media or the normal papers. It's just part of our culture there. But obviously, they're going to be disappointed with that result. And the heat will be on for the Euros.
And inevitably, that focus, that criticism, a lot of it will be towards Timo Werner, who had that chance coming off the bench 10 minutes ago and just look completely void of any confidence, Jürgen.
Yeah, but this is a situation where you can clearly see, and obviously we have two other strikers there on board with Pope Alessandros. When you have two or three things in your mind, you know, then you're not executing the situation. And he was nervous when he got that ball. He knew he has to put that ball in. Blindly, he would do that 99% of his time. But in that moment, he just overthought the situation. Then he missed it. And we all miss these type of occasions. The problem is the moment when you miss it. You know, is it in a game that really doesn't matter that much? You know, or maybe you had already a goal and you missed a situation like that. Then no big deal. But it's a World Cup qualifier. A World Cup qualifier where every point matters. And when you miss it in that way, then obviously he will be angry at himself. He won't probably sleep tonight. He already has a tough kind of situation a bit at Chelsea in the last couple of weeks. So you feel for him. You really feel for him.
Jürgen, just overall, we just saw the team put up there. This team should be more than good enough to beat most sides, especially the likes of North Macedonia. How do you even start trying to explain it?
Well, it's... Obviously, I think they started the first two qualifiers in this kind of little 10-day stretch. They started it well. The attitude is okay. The body language is okay. They kept the rhythm high. And so they created enough chances, but they were not clinical at all, especially already in the last game against Romania. They had 5, 6, 7, 100% chances. They put only one in. So that was criticized. Now today, having that big blow with North Macedonia is in a certain way not acceptable, but it's just happened, you know. So there's a lot of work on the inside of the team coming up, you know, especially in the preparation to the Euros. The quality, they have the quality, but quality is not enough. You need to have this determination. You need to have this way to grind things out, this aggressiveness. And this was today, in some situations, you could see that, okay, if we miss that chance, we're going to use the next chance. So you can't, you take things a little bit too easy, and then you get punished. And you've got to give North Macedonia a real, real compliment. They punished them, and they deserve to win.
Tell you what, Jürgen, the Germans will be happy there were no fans in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, they would have booed you off the field, you know, there's no doubt about it. Imagine, you know, a World Cup qualifier in front of 60 or 80,000 fans and at home and you lose against North Macedonia for a powerhouse like Germany, similar to, obviously, to England or Italy or Spain. You know, when something happens like that, you know, the people will let you know that. But I bet you there's no player tomorrow going in Germany to the baker or the butcher to get his bread or his meat, because they will hear it in all ways. So you better kind of hide at home for a couple of days before you go out again.
Yeah, you wouldn't trust anything they would give you. It's a shock. It's horrible. Alessandro, just overall, you've obviously experienced the highs with Italy, but there must have been lows as well. What's that like for a player to have everybody criticizing you, everyone having an opinion about where it went wrong?
Well, I mean, you lose your control, your comfort zone, let's say like this, because I believe that Jürgen explained perfectly everything that happened in the game and the mentality of German people and the German team, including congratulations to the North Macedonia, because they made it. They deserve to win. They faced the game in the proper way. But on the other side, you know, it's very disappointing what's happened, and you lose the momentum. You, for some reason, you play a lot of games, and I believe that is an issue. A lot of games that you need to put all your mentality and concentration 100% on top, because this is what can happen. If you lose a little bit of that, you're going to lose the game. And this important game put a lot of more pressure on the Germany team for the qualification of the World Cup. But let's say that in the group stage, you can make a mistake. Now they have to be perfect.
Alessandro, just taking it to a personal level, like Jürgen's saying, even going out and going to the supermarket, buying things, you want to avoid doing that because of the criticism that you're going to feel. How conscious are you of that criticism as a player?
Yeah, fully conscious about what happened. From the moment that the referee whistled, the final whistle, I mean, you are... all the bad thoughts come in your mind, and you know, and you start to say, "Oh, wow! Now what is going to happen? I mean, and how can I deal with that? How can I move forward?" And you need some time. So stay home. It's also good to stay, you know, in your mood and recruit all your energy in order to come back on the field a little bit more angry and more. Angry for the result, you know, angry for the details, angry for something that you may miss, even not on purpose, but, you know, you miss it, and somebody did it better than you, and they took out the result. So, mentally, the players already know that something is wrong, and they need to do something better.
Yeah, on that mental point, Alessandro, how is this going to affect them? Say, short-term, European Championships this summer... If, for example, you go a goal down early, how much do these sort of results, the thrashing as well against Spain, how does that affect the character of the team in these big games?
Well, it depends. It depends how you want to deal with them. The thing is, if you use these big losses or these criticisms as an inspiration to say to the people, to say to everybody, okay, talk bad about what happened. Now I show you what's gonna happen if I'm full concentrate, what I can do. And we in Italy, we know very well about that because this is exactly what happened before 2006 when we won the World Cup, that we were in a complete crisis in every aspect on the soccer world. And it happened also in 1982 when Italy won that World Cup with another criticism situation. So it's the way that you deal with that that make the difference. Now you can't do nothing. I mean, now it happened. So move forward in the proper way is the key for everybody, in this case for Germany, how you react on that.
Jürgen, has this team got the character to bounce back? That's the big question, I suppose, now looking forward.
Yeah, I totally believe they have the character, and they also, as Alessandro said, you know, they will be angry now, they are disappointed, you know, and they want to correct that mistake that they did today, and it was a big mistake. But it's also a learning curve now going into the European Championship, because it's the question now is, okay, who's going to be the leaders of that pack, you know, going into the Euros? Obviously, Manuel Neuer was not on the field today. Ter Stegen got his game. He did fine. Obviously, when you have a disappointment like that, you always look at certain players. Okay, who have the body language now to influence that locker room and influence the entire chemistry of the team going forward? And this will be a very interesting discussion to have going into the European Championship and see, are they coming new leaders out of this? Out of this path, out of this time span over the last year with the big disappointment against Spain and today. Who's going to be the face of this team? Because obviously when the European Championship kicks off, then you need to have a lot of character, you need to have a lot of confidence and leadership on the field. And this is going to be the interesting discussion now to have.
Yeah, again, I'm sorry. My producer's insisting that I bring this up. But the last time Germany lost in the World Cup was 2006, when it was on home soil, and you were the coach then. And then the guy next to you here scored that goal, Mr. Del Piero. I can't believe. Why did you make me bring that up to you? I'm sorry, Jürgen, for doing that. Alessandro, what are your memories of that game?
Yeah, of course I remember. I mean, I remember pretty well. I mean, was definitely, from my point of view, beside the result, the best game that we saw in the World Cup. In terms of excitement, in terms of how was the mood in the game, you know, how we approach these two gigantist national team like Germany and Italy, when we share players going back and forward from our two nations. I mean, we know each other pretty well, so that was an amazing game in every aspect, and that's a game that actually end up on the extra time. Yeah. How tough was the game, how the age between win and lose was really, really low, and thanks God it happened on our side.
It was the last time Germany lost a competitive game on home soil. Jürgen, do you just want to punch Alessandro, or indeed me now, for bringing it up?
No problem at all, because I maybe think a little bit the difference between the loss today that happened to Germany. They have to blame themselves, you know, they didn't execute well the chances they had, so they know why they lost. You know, when we lost in 2006, the semifinal against Italy, in extra time, we actually had to give Italy a huge compliment. They were, at the very end, the more decisive, the better team. But we also had the feeling that we gave everything we had in that tournament to make it a very, very successful tournament. So we felt good about it. We were disappointed not going into the final, not winning the World Cup. But we felt good over there overall about the tournament, which a lot of people then kind of judged it like the German fairy tale 2006, because the whole country was partying for an entire month, and a lot of guests came from all over the world, actually discovering a new Germany, a Germany that is open-minded and friendly, and they can make a laugh about themselves and they don't take things too seriously. So it helped us a lot, that World Cup. But obviously, we felt okay, you know, losing in that game. because we gave everything we had, you know. So it feels better if a player like Alessandro then scores against you.
Yeah.
Then maybe you scored an own goal, definitely. But today is a big blow for Germany, because you lose against North Macedonia, which should not happen to you. It should not happen. But again, it happened. They have to face the criticism over the next couple of days, over the next couple of weeks. And then they have the big opportunity to correct everything with a very successful European Championship this summer. But obviously now they are under pressure.
Last point, Jürgen. Do you remember the last time Germany lost a World Cup qualifier at home?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, tell me.
Little old England, 5-1. Hey! Thank you very much.
Yes. Thank God I lived in California already by that time.
Thank you very much, Jürgen. Much appreciated. Just a reminder, there's plenty of content over on our YouTube channel. You can check it out. Be sure to subscribe on ESPN FC. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. In Group C, Italy maintained their 100% start to qualifying with a comfortable 2-0 victory away against Lithuania. Let's welcome back, shall we, Alessandro Del Piero, and also Gab Marcotti is with us. Alessandro, let's start with you. Your big takeaway from the game?
I mean, what I want to say is good, new, old Italy. This is my title for the day, because we didn't play that much well, but we won 3 games in a row. It didn't happen that... we need to go back in the days, you know. And this Italy team is starting very slow under the lights. But it's 25 games they don't lose a game. 20 wins and 5 draw. So there's a lot of record that is going to break in down in this with Mancini now. That is very interesting what's happening. I mean, you're expecting to win against Lithuania. We never lose against Lithuania. So it's something that you were expecting to do it. We didn't play an amazing game, even if Ciro especially, we missed a lot of opportunities. But again, it's weird time. We saw what happened to Germany. Spain won by 2, France won by 1 only. So it's not easy win every game or don't lose every game. So it's a good job.
And then, as Alessandro says, Gav, it's a good run now.
Yeah, it's a good run. I think this was important. Roberto Mancini called up 38 players, believe it or not, for these 3 games for a bunch of different reasons. It's been so tight and everything. And he rotated very heavily throughout those 3 games. So it's almost difficult to kind of assess what Italy are now beyond the cumulative numbers, because the players change, the performances change, but the run doesn't. It's 5 games in a row now that Italy have won by 2 or more goals. And amazing to me, for a country that's won the World Cup 4 times, that is a new record.
Wow. Alessandro, let's go back to Ciro Immobile. Of course, a number of chances to score in this game, eventually scored from the penalty spot. Can you trust him, do you think, in big, big matches to deliver for Italy?
I mean, I trust. Ciro is an amazing guy. He's very generous. He's running a lot. He's taking a lot of opportunities, like you say. You know, in order to be in front of the goalkeeper so many times, it means that you play very well. And you are in the right spot. He's also a guy that can score 3-4 games four goals in a game. So it's very, can happen, honestly. So this time didn't happen. Thank God that he had this penalty at the end. So he can, he finished the game with a little smile, but of course he's going to be a little bit sad about how many opportunities he missed. How much can we trust him? How much can we trust with this Italy? This is the biggest question mark, because we change a lot of players, like I say, and but we are doing quite well. But all these great talents didn't have an amazing experience in the European or World Cup tournaments. So that's the biggest question mark. You know, they're doing really well in their team, but what happened in the national team when you're going to face the big guys, you know? And this is the question mark that we need to solve. But we are so happy that we are going through this Mancini era in this way. He's doing an amazing job, and we need to say that. And the team is going well. I mean, it happened only three other times that Italy won the first three games on the World Cup qualification, in 1978, 1982, and 1998. So that is a long time ago. This breaking record is good.
You were playing, it was that long ago. but Alessandro, looking at it, and you talk about the character and you question mark as to whether or not they can deliver at the highest level. There is no way of second guessing that, is there? You will only really find out at the time.
Yeah, there's no other choice, by the way. So you find out in that time when you're gonna face in the big pressure, and how unite you are, how character you have, how the team was built before, and all these answers till now are a nice yes. But you know, World Cup or Euro that is coming soon, it will define where we are.
Just away from the World Cup qualifiers in Italy, I just want to take you to the front page of Tutto Sport, Gab. Pogba basically suggesting that he's been offered to Juventus. Pogba, do you want him, Juve? How much truth in this is there, Gab, and how much legs has it got?
I think part of this is from something Mino Raiola, his agent, said in an interview with The Athletic, where he was talking about Pogba's future and, you know, kind of indicating that any team would take him should he leave. He's been on the record before saying that, you know, he's going to have a year left on his contract. So either he leaves on a free next summer, or if they don't extend him, they should sell him, because otherwise they lose him for nothing. So I think this is a lot. There's been a lot of paper talk right now. They're also talking about, you know, somehow selling Rabiot and Ramsey for a combined $50 million. Good luck with that, by the way, because it ain't going to happen. I think there's a lot of chatter there. But they're obviously monitoring the situation very closely. But equally, I think the situation between Solskjaer and Pogba is actually a pretty good one. I don't think the beef is with the manager. So we'll see how that turns out. But obviously, if he doesn't extend his deal, then that becomes a problem for United, and he will go on the market.
Alessandro, how much would you like to see Paul Pogba back in a Juventus shirt?
A lot. This is definitely what Juventus need. You know, somebody in the midfielder, that is taking the lead about the team. Pogba spent an amazing time in Torino. Everybody loves him, and he loves to be here when he was here. So, but I agree with Gal. I mean, there's a lot of talking now, and honestly, I mean, I don't think United make another mistake, you know, selling for free to Juve and then need to pay $100 million to get it, and then lose him again for zero. I don't think this is going, it's not going to happen. Plus, Juve need to face a really, I mean, the market for Juve already started. They pay $18 million for McKennie, they pay $40 million for Kulusevski, and they have to pay $15 million to bring totally Chiesa with them, and then also Morata, another $35 million. So in this moment, Juve doesn't have that much money even to spend on the salary cap. So I don't know, it's a very, very tricky situation.
Alessandro Del Piero and Gab Marcotti, as always, thank you very much. Easter Sunday means that all of Serie A matches this weekend will be played on Saturday. They'll be available right across ESPN+, with the exception of Bologna against Inter Milan, which is live on ESPN2. Oh.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Elsewhere today, England beating Poland by 2-1 to maintain their perfect start to the season. Harry Kane and Harry Maguire getting the goals in that tie. Craig Burley with us to discuss the win at Wembley. Craig, what was your big takeaway?
I'm getting thoroughly bored watching games with no fans in them.
Oh.
Particularly these World Cup qualifiers that, for the most part, apart from the odd result, and we have seen the odd one actually, have been just turgid to watch. So, yeah, look, Poland are not the best, and they've no Lewandowski. And in fact, for the first 45 minutes, I thought they were allergic to getting into England's half. I mean, it was a stroll, wasn't it? The only thing is, England should have won the game by more. You know, allowing Poland to get back into the game, the John Stones mistake, which was the John Stones of old, not the John Stones of this season, for the most part. And then Harry Maguire getting the winner. But yeah, we don't learn a lot from these qualifiers, to be quite frank. Daniel, England, as you know, in qualification have been over the years pretty much pitch perfect. But their big problem is when they get to the major tournaments, apart from the World Cup when they got to the semi-final. So there's not a great deal you can glean from these sort of qualifiers, in my opinion.
How much of a concern is it that we've seen this from John Stones? Obviously, errors that have been eradicated from his game, Craig. Going forward, is he a different player with an England shirt on? Is there different pressure?
No, I don't think it's the pressure. I just think he's just taken his eye off the ball there. And I don't know why, but we haven't seen it from Man City this season. He's been almost exemplary. And look, there was no pressure on him. He had lots of time. He just made a bad decision. And it was those decisions that, for long periods, along with injury, took him out the side at Man City. But we know it wasn't just the injuries. There was some off-field problems that he was dealing with as well, which he seems to have put behind him. And hence the fact the best partnership at the Etihad this year has been Diaz and Stones. However, it is a concern, a small concern for Gareth Southgate, that this potentially is one of the weaker parts of the side. A part of the side that, you know, if you're playing De Bruyne or Lukaku or, you know, Mbappe or players like that, that it could come back to haunt you. So does he think about maybe getting an extra defender in there and going to a back three, changing the whole shape of the team? So these are the things that Southgate is going to have to figure out. I think from John Stones' perspective, I get the feeling it was a kind of one and done for this year, because we haven't seen it for months and months and months. And I just think Southgate will say to him, listen, you know, you've had a great season. You know, get the head screwed on. Don't take chances like that and get back to what you've been doing best for Man City. And then hopefully from John Stones' perspective, that'll be the end of the mistakes. Because if you make mistakes at the Euros, for example, this summer, then England will be out.
You take a look at performance from someone like Raheem Sterling, some people on social media frustrated with him, Craig. He's a guaranteed star, though, isn't he, for England, because of what he offers in the way which he won the penalty?
Pretty much, and you can put him centrally as well. And look, I'm not going to get into it, but for some reason, certain individuals, you know, get more social media attention than others. There's no doubt Raheem Sterling's not having, even though City have been great, he's not having a spellbinding season this year. He has been a little bit wasteful in the final third for his club as well at times, and a little frustrating. But he just brings such a threat, you know, with his pace and his directness. And I think for sure he'll be a starter, possibly alongside his Man City teammate and Phil Foden. That we'll have to wait and see. But But yeah, Sterling gets a lot of heat at times, and a lot of it is unwarranted. He goes out there, he does his best. He's a big threat. Can improve in the final third, there's no doubt about it. But England have plenty of... The thing is as well, Dan, England have plenty of options in that area. So if Sterling's not playing well, Southgate can go to the well and get somebody else.
Craig Burley, thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN SC back on your screens tomorrow. Our attentions will turn from international football as we start to look ahead to some of those big domestic games this weekend. Meanwhile, Spain top Group B after a 3-1 victory over Kosovo. Sweden didn't play today. They remain second. What did you say to me as we were watching this game together?
Many things. Spain are not very good. The main thing is that Spain is a team that struggles so much in creating enough quality opportunities. And even when they do create those quality opportunities, the names and the players that they have available in order to finish those chances are not good enough to do so consistently. And so games like Georgia become a problem. Mm. Games like Kosovo become a problem. They don't have enough in the attacking half to get away from teams, to really be dominant, not in the possession of the ball, but be dominant in the scoreboard. And because they're not able to score enough goals, then every game is a little bit of a struggle. Every game is right there, right there, right there. This game was 2-1 late. Yeah. Gerard Moreno scores the third goal and it's 3-1. You think, comfortable Spain. No, it was not comfortable for Spain.
No, and it isn't. And the problem with Spain that we're always going to have is 2008.
Yep.
You know, and 2010, those sort of performances. And the thing is, when you think of Spain now, the level is so much lower than that.
It is.
But in your head, though, you still have that Spain side of being so brilliant.
And the performances are so much lower than that standard in two areas, up front and in the midfield.
Yeah, it's just no spot.
Think about Fernando Torres in his prime and what he was and what he gave this team in terms of a different element, because he was different than the other guys playing around him. So you had Iniesta and you had Xavi, and they controlled the midfield in the manner in which they did. But you had the power and the strength and the speed of Fernando Torres that could do something on his own in the final third. Here, you're depending on guys like Dani Olmo, who scores a great goal today and scored a goal against Georgia. But is that the sort of guy that you're depending upon in order to produce every time that Spain plays? No, that's not going to happen. Morata is not going to happen. He'll score a goal here and there, and people will say, oh, yeah, Here's the moment. Here he is. This is the Morata we've been waiting for. No, it's not going to be consistent enough. And as long as you have that image of that standard, and then you try to make this team that, it's not going to happen. This team is going to win some games, but it's never going to be in the manner in which that team did those things that were so very, very game-changing.
France, top of Group D after a 1-0 victory over Bosnia-Herzegovina. They were made to work hard for it. Hugo Lloris with a great save in the first half to keep it goalless. And in the end, Antoine Griezmann's goal on the hour mark handed France all 3 points. Nice welcome in, Frank LeBeuf. Frank, what a treat for you to watch your side beat Bosnia-Herzegovina today.
Well, you know, especially the first half, you know, that wasn't really entertaining. It wasn't a fantastic pitch. Except maybe that save that we just saw, that kind of Gordon Banks save from Hugo Lloris.
And it wasn't that. It wasn't that good.
That
calm
there
down,
is nothing
Frank.
Much to. No, it wasn't too bad. It's not because you're English that you have to defend everything coming from England, you know. But it was yeah, pretty much nothing happening. And second half was better, more serious. Some actions, some good actions, but they did the job. You know, what do you want to? I cannot criticize them in the way that they keep on winning games. That of course they're going to qualify. I have no doubt about that. What's going to happen within 2 months in the European Championship? Nobody knows. People are serious. Players are serious. They do the job. They're not entertaining, but have they been entertaining since for the past like 3, 4, 5 years? Mm. I'm not sure about that. Yes. But they do the job.
Frank, you mentioned it, and it's not just France. Pretty much it's all the big teams right across the board aren't exactly blowing away opposition or playing particularly attractive football. Is that going to change in the lead-up and when the Euros come along, do you think?
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah,
you know, it depends as well if we have some fans in the stands as well, you know, and the pressure is going to come as well, and it's going to help the players to give a little bit more. But right now, it must be hard for the players. You know, it's been a year. They play without anybody in the stands. They play a kind of strange games, being, you know, when they verify if they have the COVID or not. I think the fighting spirit is not there. They just try to do the job. They try to be professional. The entertaining is not there. And as you said, every big teams, they struggle right now. We saw Germany. You just talked about Spain. Nobody's has an easy run against a so-called smaller team. But it's what it is. I think the top level has dropped because of the pandemic, and the average team became a bit better than the others. So that's what it is, and it's what we have as a result.
Thanks, Frank. I'll tell you who have been impressive. Denmark flying high in Group F. Three wins out of three. Went to Austria and thrashed them on Wednesday by 4-0.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Quite the story, of course, Germany losing to North Macedonia. Their first home defeat World Cup qualifier since England, which I may have mentioned already, Ali. Stay tuned. Extra Time's next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Ali Moreno here in the studio. We also welcome to Extra Time, Gab Marcotti is here, as is Frank LaBeouf. This is actually the first segment we're taping with Frank. I haven't had a chance to say hello. How are you, Frank? Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you very much. And yourself?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much for asking.
Are you going to tell Frank what you were telling me earlier?
What
about
was...
He was no longer the most important World Cup winner that we have on the show?
I would never say that about Frank LaBeouf.
I think that's what you said. Literally, I think that's what you said.
Don't worry, Ali. Don't worry, Ali. I already know. No problem.
Yeah. There have been plenty of rumours floating about regarding Aguero's future, Gab, including moves to Barca, PSG, Juventus, Chelsea and Independiente. Where will he end up?
I have no idea where he'll end up. I think, the link with Juve, that was really pushed out there and people went big on it. To me, it makes zero sense, partly because of Juventus's financial situation. And of course, Aguero commands big wages, but partly because, is he really what you want up front with Cristiano Ronaldo, given that he's going to be 33 years old? I think at a push, if he's willing to take a pay cut to have fun and enjoy himself, I think it could work at Barcelona. And it could obviously take a big pay cut back at Independiente. But I think for one of those big clubs, if he wants anywhere near the money he was getting at Manchester City, I think, you know, he would need to prove his fitness first if you're going to tie him down to a long-term contract.
Frank, obviously a lot of talk about Kun Aguero and his legacy in the Premier League comparing to other top strikers, say, for example, an Alan Shearer. Who would you prefer to be up against? Aguero with that low centre of gravity or Alan Shearer with that aggressive tendency, that kind of quality?
I would rather go fighting against Alan Shearer, even if he broke my nose twice, for the reason you just expressed. Aguero is hard to catch, you know. If you come close to him, he's gonna fall. If you're not close enough, he's gonna escape. It's a real nightmare to play against those kind of players, like. Michael Owen was in a way, Gianfranco Zola was in another way, Diego Maradona, to name a few. It's impossible to catch with those players. They, as you say, with a low grade of gravity, you cannot do anything. On top of it, they're fast, they're technical. They're real nightmares for defenders.
Frank, you have a perfectly set nose now. Did you have plastic surgery? Like compared to a Steve Bruce, for example, yours is just immaculate.
Yes, I had to have it because I couldn't breathe for 10 years. Oh. And he said that I could risk a heart attack. So I needed to have a surgery, yes, twice, in fact. Just
heart
after
attack.
My career in
That's
2005.
That's an excuse. Vanity. Vanity is all it was.
No. I was born with a nose on the side and it was broken four times. It was broken four times. So, of course, you know, I needed to... You know, make it straight a little bit. But it doesn't help my face, you know.
That's what it is. It's a beautiful nose, Frank.
Did you see how his nose was initially? He's, yeah.
I know, it's almost like, is it Picasso? Yeah. That's nose like that.
Hey, that's nice.
That way. Yeah.
If you could have plastic surgery on anything, Ali, what would you have done?
My nose, I had it done twice. I broke my nose twice as well.
Really?
Uh-huh.
And did you get yours done?
Yes, I had to get it reconstructed once I broke it, yeah.
Wow.
In fact, I broke my nose, went back to playing, had one of those masks that are impossible to play with.
Yeah.
Took it off because, you know, that's the sort of guy I am.
Yes.
And got broken again.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Gab, have you ever broken your nose?
No, I broke my eye socket. Playing rugby.
Gosh. Wow. How was that?
That trumps your nose.
That's better than a broken nose, a broken eye socket. What about Stevie when he broke his jaw and they had to scramble up all the food to feed him in a blender?
I mean, if there was any of us that could have the hardest time with a broken jaw, it would be Steve.
Yeah. So
what am I supposed to do now?
Go on, Frank.
I had also a fracture on my, did you say the eye socket?
Yes.
Yeah, during a game. And I had a fracture here and there. And when I breathe, the air comes from the nose from there. Not from the right spot. And it became so big. You know what? It was on TV. It was live on TV. And that's the only game in my life where I scored three goals. It was against Caen. And I scored two penalties, and there was another penalty that I didn't shoot, but I stay up.
Yes.
And the guy missed the penalty, and the ball came back to me, and I scored the hat trick, my only hat trick in my career.
And you were breathing through your eye socket.
True.
Maybe it's a new science to explore.
Yes.
Okay, Ali, did Liverpool did Liverpool dodge a bullet with Werner, and why is your answer 100%?
Because if you're certain about something, then why would you be 75%? If you're going to commit to something, then commit. It's got to be 100%.
Yeah.
And based upon the evidence that we have seen on Timo Werner, all these teams that were chasing Timo Werner did dodge a bullet. But what we saw today was concerning.
That is tough to bounce back from,
That was concerning because the worst thing that could have happened to Timo Werner today is having so much time for that chance because it allowed him to think. And a player without confidence, when you allow him to think and think of all the possibilities and all the options, that's when you get into trouble.
Right.
The best thing that could have happened for him is just kind of the ball fall to him in a tight space. He just swings at it and it goes in the back of the net.
Yeah.
When he has so much time and space to think about it, you saw him. It's a player that right now doesn't know what he's doing on the field.
Gab, what next for Donnarumma? His contract expires in the summer and he hasn't extended it.
So, This is an interesting one because he's been linked to moves elsewhere. He's been linked to Juventus, usual stuff. In some ways, he signed an enormous contract. He became one of the two or three highest paid players, goalkeepers rather, in the world at age 21. So it's a question of where do you go from there? He's still very, very young. I think in the end, he's going to stay and he's going to extend and, you know, maybe with some kind of release clause. The good news for Milan is there's only so many clubs in the world that need a top goalkeeper and can afford to pay Donnarumma, you know, more than what Milan are offering him. And those clubs, and in fact, there aren't any, actually, sorry, because the clubs that can afford that kind of money and a keeper, generally, they already have a very good keeper, whether it's Ter Stegen or Neuer or Oblak, or not that Atletico Madrid could afford him. So my guess in the end is he's going to stay, but if I were Mino Raiola, and I'm sure he's thought about it, he's going to put in some kind of release clause so that, you know, if an opening elsewhere opens up, then he has leverage.
Get ready, everyone. Here we go.
Uh-huh.
Gab, I read only two teams can afford Haaland, City and Chelsea. How can they get by financial fair play?
FFP, baby.
Oh, FFP, baby. So I don't know if there's only two teams that can afford him. It could be more. Besides, you can always afford somebody. The question is, can you afford it and then balance the books? So in the short term, financial fair play has effectively been suspended because of COVID. It hasn't quite been suspended. They're doing something boring with combining different accounts in different years, which I won't bore you with, even though Craig isn't here because he'll still hunt me down and kill me. But I think longer term, the answer is financial fair play will probably be restructured somehow. But you know, the thing is, when we talk about affording him, you know, if you wait a year from now, his release clause kicks in. You know, there are ways, and even if you have to pay more than the release clause to get him this summer, you know, there are ways to structure his contract where you can balance it out. Under the old financial fair play rules, I think it would have been extremely difficult for Chelsea. But you know, even Manchester City, right? If we're talking about wages, you know, leave the transfer to one side for a second. Aguero's leaving. That opens up a nice fat salary slot for Haaland. And then you spread the fee out over 5 years or whatever, because that's called amortization. Ooh. And he's only costing you $15 million a year. You know, you can handle that kind of thing.
Anything to add, Frank?
Nothing much. I think that Paris Saint-Germain can get him as well.
Oh, there you go.
It's not only Chelsea and Manchester City.
Yeah, shut up, Gab. You said it was only Chelsea and City.
I didn't say that.
The thing is, I'm sorry to finish. I think it would be, I don't know if it would be a mistake for Milan to go to Manchester City. I just say that the way that Guardiola is playing his team won't be the best seat for Alan to go there, because I don't know if he's going to get the ball. They don't play with strikers. They don't want a striker. They don't use a striker, so I don't know. Okay. Maybe they will have to change their tactic. I don't know if it's going to be good for Alan.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right, we're going to talk about Haaland every day, so let's move on.
Can we talk about broken noses again?
For
financial fair play wasn't great.
For Frank. Okay, concentrate, Frank. If you had to start two players, bench one, and drop one, out of these four, what would you do? The four players are Wayne Rooney, Thierry Henry, Ruud van Nistelrooy, or Kun Aguero. Mm. Play two, drop one.
Aguero, Rooney.
Sub one.
Start two.
Start two of them. Who's your first two out of those four you're starting?
Rooney and Henry.
And then who's on the bench?
Well, the two others.
No, but only one can be. One's on the bench. One you've left in the hotel.
Okay. Aguero on the bench.
And
Van Nistelrooy. Well, I'm sorry. Well, I have to put somebody at the hotel where I would be crazy to put him at the hotel. Well, if I have to choose, Van Nistelrooy will maybe. Yeah.
Do you concur?
I do not. Aguero and Henry start.
Yep.
Rooney on the bench.
Right.
Van Nistelrooy
is very much...
He gone.
In his own suite.
He gone.
Ali, this is a question. Huh? Ready?
Yeah, okay.
Better player in their prime.
Uh-huh.
Zidane, uh-huh. Iniesta, Ronaldinho.
Good Lord. Three different type of players.
Yep.
Wow.
Three different geniuses yep. in yes. their own way.
Yep. So this is in their prime.
The very best.
Yes.
Oh, this is so hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
Okay. Oh. Utilizing the star bench and drop one.
Right.
Well, I'm going to drop Iniesta.
Right.
And I'm going to start on his best for my team. Zidane over Ronaldinho.
Zidane over Ronaldinho.
Mm-hmm. Because you know who I'm playing up top? Original Ronaldo.
Oh, okay.
So I don't need Ronaldinho
okay.
so much.
Right.
I need the genius of Zidane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's LeBouf in all of this?
LeBouf is center back breaking noses and I suck it and what have you.
Gabby, are you...
Good, I like it.
Are
like
you the
it,
same, Gab? It. Zidane, Ronaldinho, and Iniesta in that order?
I would have Iniesta, no disrespect, at the bottom of the three. Yeah. Just simply, just in terms of supporting cast and whatnot. I think when Ronaldinho was at his very, very best, over a career, I'd take Zidane. But when Ronaldinho was at his very, very best, he won games single-handedly, I think, more often than Zidane did. So look, it's really, really close.
It
I might
close.
Just shade Ronaldinho, just to contradict Ali.
And what about you, Frank? David Ginola over all of them.
No. Football is about consistency.
Not in this instance. It's not about consistency.
Yes,
no,
of
it's
course
not.
It is.
No, it's not. It's about their prime.
It is.
At their
it
very,
is.
Very best.
So, again, Zidane, Iniesta, and Ronaldinho.
Mm. Oh, so you'd have Iniesta ahead of Ronaldinho?
Yes, because... What? I know that I can count on Iniesta. I don't know what kind of night Ronaldinho had the night before the day before the game. And so I don't know if he's going to be at his prime.
But he is going to be at his prime. He's going to be at his brilliant hat-trick at the Bernabeu best. Oh.
So if they are all at their prime, why do you want me to choose? I'm so rich, I take all the three of them.
But not all of us have got World Cup winning money. We all don't drive around in a Bentley. This is the point. Final question.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who do you think is the greatest French player in history, Frank?
Mm.
Zinedine Zidane,
uh-huh.
Platini, or you?
Whoa.
Well, at least I thought it would be a quite serious question and you would add Coppa on top of Zidane and Platini. For me, Platini is right. The best of the best in France.
What about in his prime?
He's my idol, so.
What if you knew that he was partying the night before?
Oh, yeah, that is it. Yeah.
No, Platini, seriously.
Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, ESPN FC will be back on your screen. I'll be back here tomorrow with Shaka in
well,
the
have a great
studio.
Time.
I think Don and Stevie are here as well. Be sure to join us.